The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rev up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
This is...
Who are you? I'm Al Craig. Pleased to meet you.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Tick, tick. Boom.
Now,
let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good hello, morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Come on, people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go!
Tick, tick, boom.
All right, let's go. Let's go. It's the day after Christmas. That means one thing. I'm on the radio. Rob Bradford here with... That's Brad Foe. Brad Foe to everybody out there listening with my great friend... The only person I rather see on the day after Christmas is nobody. And thank you, Fitzy, for being that person for who I really, really want to see. Thank you, Fitzy, for being you. What's going on, my friend?
Just like they said in Game of Thrones, Brad Foe, the girl is nobody. I'm thrilled to be here with you. And I resplendent from my home studio today in my Christmas PJs that I have been rocking for 36 straight, Santa hat and all still in tow. You just totally Brad Foe'd out with your World Baseball Classic U.S. cap on. My God. Baseball, never boring.
Well, I begin every Baseball Isn't Boring podcast by saying there's nobody I'd rather be talking to right now than XXXX. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I mean it more than other times, I'm going to be honest with you. And what it does, it pumps me up, you know, even if I don't want to talk to the person, usually she's almost never. But honestly, like, I am super psyched to do this show because I know that we are of the same spirit animal. I know that we are, I think that we... come from the same place. We like to have fun. We like to not take things too serious. And I think the day after Christmas is a perfect time to do this. Not take things too serious. And by the way, Jackson is behind the glass. Hello, Jackson.
Good morning.
And Jackson, Fitzy, I don't know if you knew this. Jackson, I know that they talk about you a lot, like a lot about all your eclectic world.
Yes, my quirks, if you will.
Not your quirks, whatever, your weird world, right? Why don't you go by your first name?
I do.
I thought it was like Lamar. Is it Lamar?
No, that's my name on name on Twitter because when all the talk of maybe Lamar Jackson coming to the Patriots was happening.
Okay.
I figured I'd just try to get some clips.
Again, the internet is never wrong, so I'm going to call you Lamar from now
no,
on.
No, my first name's Jackson. Yep. I don't have a middle name, which is...
That's so funny, because I thought it was Kendrick Lamar Dontavious Jackson Burns.
What was it? By the way, Fitzy, I was listening the other day, and this is the Greg Hill Show, the wildly popular Greg Hill Show. We'll be on with you until 10 o'clock, 617-779-7937. But Fitzy, I heard you guys talking the other day, and you had the website... And if I wasn't fearful of crashing into a pole before writing it down, I would have done that. But what was the website about the weird names that you had? What was that?
Oh, my favorite Twitter follow of 2024. Actual Names One.
Oh, it's so good. It is
the absolute best. It is a feed and follow that gives you gifts every single day. And the best part is, like with most comedy, it's the truth in the comedy there. Like, it's all how this guy has the time to search every census, every graveyard, every birth registry around the world to find this unique and original gold. I have no idea, but I'm grateful for it.
Hey, how did you get Fitzy?
Me?
Yeah.
Fitzy was a nickname I gave to when I did stand up on stage in New York City in 2001. Under the guise of being the most obnoxious masshole who ever took to the stages of New York. People liked it. Then I started doing YouTubes around it. Next thing you know, a character or caricature, if you will, becomes a nickname and a broadcast handle, and it stuck with me ever
since.
Did
you workshop it, though? I mean, there must have been other. There must have been, like, the Sullies. There must have been or was it just that Fitzy came to you? Thank you, the Lord above, for giving me this name that fits so right.
Fitzy came to me, but it did come down to a big three. There was a medal stand, and ultimately Fitzy got the gold medal.
What was the other two?
And heard his nation's anthem played in front of millions.
Did you wear the velour Miracle on Ice?
I bit the medal and everything. Okay. No fist raised in a protest.
No. Okay. So what were the other two?
Fitzy, Sully, and Murph. Because you can't walk into a proper bar in Boston, yell Fitzy, Sully, or Murph without having at least 10 people turn around and go, "What of it?"
I saw the video, speaking of social media, and social media is a thing that gets us all through the holidays, right? I should give credit, but I can't give credit because I don't know where it came from. But the three guys walking into Wicked, the three guys from Boston walking into Wicked and walking out, say, what? What? What?
No,
what?
I haven't seen that, what? But that's what? Entirely on brand.
Well, speaking of the holidays, I don't know if people know this, we had Christmas yesterday and the beginning of Hanukkah, and I think Kwanzaa is today. And so there's a
is
lot.
Is that your lead?
Yes, that's my lead. Okay, discuss, please, for the next 3 hours. But one of the things, and we're going to get to sports. I don't know if you know this, the Celtics lost. We have the Patriots. We have blah, 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 blah. And Bill O'Brien, by the way, at 6:45, is talking about spirit animals. I always felt like Bill O'Brien was my spirit animal. He's almost the exact same age as I am, and probably has gone through different iterations of health. You know, in terms of eating poorly.
Did he recently get a BC Eagles tattoo, though?
This is what we're going to bring up, okay?
We have to.
I mean, I wonder, yes or no? Yes or no? And I'm going to take the room, Jackson included. Does Bill O'Brien have a tattoo? Jackson, yes or no?
Sure, why not?
Oh, jeez, come on, Jackson.
Jackson.
I mean, just say
it's
yes.
It's Bill O'Brien, yes. For God's sake.
Yes or yes?
Yes.
Be definitive. Come
yes,
on.
Yes, absolutely.
Go. All right. What do you got, Fitzy?
Oh, zero chance.
I agree with you. But can we get him today to get a tattoo of George Steinbrenner if he wins the Pinstripe Bowl? Or maybe if he loses the Pinstripe Bowl.
Okay. Hey, Coach. Great talking to you. Thanks for waking up early to be on with Brad Bo and Fitzy. Which Yankee, if you were to get a tattoo winning the Pinstripe Bowl, which Yankee number would you be willing to get on your left shoulder?
I think it's more of if you lose. Because, you know, a kid who grew up in Boston, you know, if you lose the pin. By the way, because the winner of the Pinstripe Bowl gets the George Steinbrenner Trophy, which is must be a very conflicting thing for Bill O'Brien. But I would imagine if you lose a Pinstripe Bowl against Nebraska, then you're going to have to get a tattoo of a Yankee. It's not like a reward, right? Correct?
Yeah. And you know, like, Bradfell, one of the things they've been doing with all these extra bowl games that technically don't count, is, you know, upping the trophy game, doing everything they can to help the viral marketing bring an audience to it. So you've had the Pop-Tart Bowl, where you have a giant toaster where a human Pop-Tart goes down and then everybody eats him in a surreal tribal moment of sacrifice and gluttony.
Then you're forced to watch Jerry Seinfeld's movie, yes.
So creepy. That's right. Oh, what was the name? What was the name of that movie?
Frosted. Unfrosted,
right. That's right.
Yeah.
Then you got the All Right a Potato Bowl. When you win that, somebody dumps a bucket of hot French fries over the coach. So what are they going to dump over top of Bill O'Brien if he wins the Pinstripes
Bowl? They make you wear a mock turtleneck, correct? Yes? Yes? I don't know. They make you read Chasing Steinbrenner, the cult classic written by myself in 2003.
Garrett Cole spends lavishly on a buffet for the whole team after the game.
You have to hold up four fingers, not for owning the fourth quarter, but for walking Rafael Devers. But I am looking forward to, and I will ask Bill O'Brien that, because there's nothing better than good tattoo talk now that I do have indeed a tattoo. In case everybody missed it, real quickly, I have my first and only tattoo done by the preeminent tattoo artist maybe in the world, Mr. Cartoon. You know him, Fitzy, from the Modelo commercials, correct?
Oh, him. He is the most interesting tattoo artist.
Yes, he is. And so I have a baseballs and boring tattoo. What are your six rings tattoo? I mean, can't we commit to things? Let's go. Where's the six rings tattoo?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about getting the six rings tattoo is I'm not really worried that the name of the podcast is going to change anytime soon. So I I should probably up my game and get a six rings tattoo, Bradfo.
Just do it with like the the four slashes with the slash through it, and then a number one. Now you can just, if they do get a seventh one, you can just add another slash.
Yeah, listen. I mean, sure. That seems like a good idea. What, do you have any tattoos, Fitzy?
Zero.
Would you ever get one?
Yes.
In what situation?
It would have to,
if you nail this Bill O'Brien interview at 6:45.
100%. 100%. I'll get the EEI stamp right on the old Greek cheek on the back door.
Would you get one?
It would have to be in commemoration of someone or something, probably. Like not just sort of like, yeah, I saw this graffiti of a sweet panther, and I was like, I gotta have that.
The Dodgers won the World Series. Yeah. Go out, get a tattoo.
I got three dumb tattoos. Well, two dumb tattoos. One I still like.
Okay, what are they?
I got my band name tattooed on my forearm when I was 18.
That's absolutely 100%. What? The best kind of dumb tattoo.
What?
Ever.
What is
only
it?
Girlfriend name?
Of course. What is the
paranoid?
That's right.
It's the
paranoid.
Dumbest,
I mean,
paranoid.
Honestly, so let's pick through this real quick, okay?
Yeah.
I think Fitzy and I both applaud you, Jackson, for getting a tattoo your band name, because it seems cool. It's a good story.
Yeah.
But I would think three times. It's kind of like hitting the Twitter button. Like, think four times before you actually do it, because no one's going to say, that's a cool band name. No, you're going to say, why are you so paranoid?
Yeah,
exactly. What is your problem?
And not to mention the guys in the band changed the name like literally like 6 months later. It was a democratic thing. There was three of us, and the two of them wanted to change it, so I had to take my medicine.
The crazy thing is, Bradfo, they changed the name to Disturbed and then became super popular international recording artists.
Yeah, right.
All they had to do was drop Jackson, and they were fine.
It's like all those guys who get the Mookie Betts, or I'm sorry, the Mookie Blaylock tattoo, and then turn Pearl Jam. All right, so what's your other tattoos?
Oh, I got a cool castle on my arm, and then I got a dumb skull on my right calf.
Okay, a lot going on.
I got them all when I was 18. It's stupid.
A lot going on there. Well, we can pick through my fresh tattoo a little bit later in the show. Again, 617-779-7937 to set the scene. We Bill O'Brien, 6:45. And we have Jelani Tavai at about, 7:15? Yes, I don't know why he would want to live here, because he is from Hawaii. And
recently became a dad. He's also a newish dad as well. So,
is what I do want to get into, the parenting at during the holiday season, during Christmas time, the parenting aspect of it. Before we do that, because I don't want to keep Jeff and Wanatan hanging on here before we get to our leads after the break. So, Jeff, what's going on, my friend? How you doing? Jeff.
Yeah. There you go. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, Brad.
Oh, yes. You as well, my friend. Do you have any tattoos?
I do not. I'm old enough to wear, when I was a kid, my parents told me they were degenerates. Only degenerates wear tattoos.
Believe it or not, my dad told me that yesterday after he saw mine. So.
And Fitzy, I wanted to say hi to you. I'm an original caller to this station, but I don't think I've ever spoken to you.
Well, and I really Jeff, like nice to meet you as well, doing. Friend.
And I wanted, you know, Bradford, I was thinking about sports talk in Boston in general, and I remember when they first announced that EI was going to go all sports, and I remember thinking that's never going to work because there's not enough sports to talk about in Boston. And what I didn't realize is the male desire to gossip, but they want to do it in a manly way. So we gossip about sports. So instead of, you know, who stabbed, you know, what, you know, girl in the back or whatever, we talk about like Belichick stabbing Brady in the back or, you know, and it's the same thing. And I had no idea. And Fitzy, I think you're one of the people who's probably profited the most from that desire because you have a real knack for keeping that kind of conversation going and, you know, having some good humor with it and everything. But it's just kind of funny. Like, this is what we do, isn't it?
It in a lot of ways, that's a great way to put it, that sports is what fosters good male gossip, Bradfo. I kind of like that spin on it.
Yeah, and Jeff, I obviously, we appreciate every time you call, and you call every time we have the Baseballs and Boring show. You've been calling. We have iterations of the baseball show, which is used to be like 8 hours of baseball talk. Think about that. We don't have 8 hours of baseball talk in a month.
Yep, that original show, I only missed one call in like 10 years. And that was because I had a wedding in Florida, and the baseball show lasted way longer than the marriage did. So, there you go. You know.
Well,
I should have stayed home, saved my money from buying a new suit, and I could have called the baseball show, and probably everybody would have been a lot happier.
But I think, Jeff, another thing to hit on real quick, and Fitz, I think you'll agree, is that, you know, we started off the show, we're talking about tattoos, we're talking about holidays, we're talking about whatever, and we'll get to the Celtics, and we'll get to the Patriots, we'll get to the Red Sox, but there probably wasn't that avenue for being sitting on the couch, feeling like you're sitting on the couch, mm-hmm. being entertained, having your character. We talked about Fitzy's character. Well, think about this. Going way back when this thing really got rolling, it was characters. It was entertainment. It was it was the gossip. It's all of this. So this is what we're here for this morning, right?
Yeah, I used to say Dennis and Callahan was a show aimed at angry white guys going to work. And everybody bitching and moaning. And then the big show was coming home and going to the bar. And it was so regular. They're like, I was like rushing home to put on EEI because I wanted to hear what, you know, Pete Shepard thought or what Buckley, you know, whoever the guest was. It was like getting together with your buddies at the bar, having a drink, talking sports on your way home. And it was just like the perfect, you know, in its heyday, it was the perfect, you know, entertainment.
Well, it's a great perspective, too, on that, Jeff, as well. The idea that everyone's frustrated. They have to get up and get the morning grind, get out the house, get dressed, sit in traffic. And then what a relief it is to come home, maybe knock a few long necks back, talk some sports with your friends. I think that was the...
If you go back and hear those old archives, you'll get the vibe immediately. You could turn on any Dennis and Callahan show from any time, and there'd be, you know, and you turn on the big show at any time, and they'd be like, ah. You know, that'll work. You know,
and who would have thought that it would have all peaked, it all come to a culmination on December 26, 2004. We've hit our stride.
With baseball not being boring. So there you
baseball
go, right?
not I being mean, boring, and, nope. and now...
Yeah, that is the ultimate...
I can't... Unlike Jackson, I have no desire to cross out any words in my tattoo. So, absolutely. Jeff, I look forward to talking with you in the coming weeks. We'll be kicking it back up with the baseballs and boring stuff. So, thanks so much, man. Happy holidays.
Sounds great. Happy New Year to both of you. Oh, yeah, and you too, Jackson. Bye-bye.
You as well, Jeff. That's a delight. Yeah, if you think back to the good old Bradfo, I've been a P1 of WEEI as long as it's been in existence, no matter where I've lived in New York State, throughout New England, and beyond. And I as much as I enjoy being a part of the contemporary sports radio landscape in New England, there was nothing quite like the days of Ted Nation, the Big O, the Big Show, and of course Eddie Edelman and the Hot Dog Safari.
Yeah, and this is sort of one of the things that I want to get to, and we're going to be doing the leads right after we do the trending and the break. But one of the things I want to get to is sort of the evolution of everything, spawning off of the Netflix. We were forced to watch the NFL on Netflix. So I want to get your take on that, Fitzy. But it did make me think about how things, we can't be old men yelling at clouds. We have to basically say, this is how it's going to be, and things are going to be changing. And with talk radio now, Fitzy, I think that some of the things that we say, you know, well, we have to change. Well, do we? Like, Jeff just pointed this out. it comes back to being entertaining. It comes back to conversation. It comes back to just wanting to hang out on the couch and just talk to your buddy and bust his balls and everything else. So anyway, I want to get into that, as we said, Bill O'Brien at 6:45, Jelani Tavai, about 7:15. We got a lot to get to. I appreciate everybody joining us. I hope everybody's feeling spry. I know Fitzy is. I know I am. And I know Jackson is, and he's going to trend right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. And the Celtics, they lost yesterday, close one to the 76ers. They had Jason Tatum. He had a double-double, 15 rebounds and 32 points, but they could not pull through. They lost 118 to 114. The football slate on Christmas Day was not very competitive. Houston got spanked by Baltimore, and of course Kansas City kept their winning ways up, and they beat I've lost my piece of paper, so I forget who they beat. So they beat somebody. So sorry about that.
I would help you out here, Jackson, but you know what? No, that's not what this is about.
No,
we're sitting on the couch next to each other, I'm not helping you out.
Of course not. You know,
yeah, that's helicopter parenting, Bradfo. Don't do it.
Thank you.
It's perfect. And the Celtics, they welcome the Pacers to the Garden tomorrow night. Tip off at 7:30. And trending was brought to you by Shaw's. Today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is pretzel roll sandwiches for $5 each. That's right, pretzel roll sandwiches are $5 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
All right, welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. I'm Brad Foe, along with Fitzy. We're on with you till 10 o'clock with Bill O'Brien at 6:45, Jelani Tavai at about 7:15. And Fitzy, we're going to get to the leads in a second, but I am fascinated about parenting at the Christmas time. You have semi-little ones, right? Correct?
That's correct. 11 and 7. 7-11.
Okay. Okay, you also have small children. Every era is a different dynamic when it comes to parenting. As you know, you have you open the box and you're just happy to be there era. Now your era is you better get me something good or else I'm not going to be happy. Would that be correct?
Yeah, because we have the 11-year-old about to be 12 who thinks he's going on 15, who should be 18 in no time at all. So now he's concerned with the first time kids experience optics, like what do my friends think? I got to tell my friends I got the coolest gift. I want to show it off to them. So there's that level of sensitivity that's been introduced into the equation. And then the 7-year-old who still like wants to play with toys and be a young kid just wants happiness. It's just a little joy box. So you've got a lot of different. And then if the mom and dad are even able to possibly get anything for each other, you have to sort of like, rationalize, is it in the budget? Does it make sense? And
it's ironic because WEI pays in happiness.
It's so funny. I just look at my bank statement from Citizens once every 2 weeks, and it just says joy.
We pay in happiness and T-shirts, but it is.
Do you get T-shirts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I speak for the podcast, but
yeah, Dakota provides
it. Tattoos. Do you also have to gauge when you're opening the presents for that age? Well, really for any age, just be honest, that you have to read their reactions. You're thinking, is this kid getting more than the other kid? What's their reaction? Are they sadder? Are they happier? Are they happy enough? I'm always cognizant. Even now, I'm always cognizant of that. I don't know if about you.
How old are the Bradfield boys again?
Well, let's just say, I was going to say, so my now has evolved into, with my youngest, we are pouring chocolate syrup and vodka down his throat the night before Christmas. So,
haircuts.
Yeah. They are, let's see, 22, 25, 27. And you're saying, how does someone so spry and so young have kids so old?
I was going to say, my God, yeah. You are the Pete Carroll of baseball talk on the radio or my telephone, now downloaded on the Odyssey app today.
Exactly. Thank you. It's the first I knew that was going to be compared to Pete Carroll before the day was over. But yes, but some things never change. And they hate when I say you're only as happy as your unhappiest kid. But that's just how it is. And that goes to opening gifts. But I do hope that your gift giving and your gift opening went superbly.
Massive successes yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Kids,
oh, good. I mean, listen, kids are prone to recency bias as much as people that spin hot takes on the pod or the FM radio, but everybody left yesterday saying that it was probably the best family Christmas ever. And who am I to complain amongst us, because not only was I actually thought of and given a gift at the exchange's end, but my wife got me something I have wanted for decades.
Ooh, what?
A sauna.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. She gave me the picture, and I thought she was joking. She said, nope, this is your Christmas gift, your birthday gift, probably next year's Christmas gift and next year's birthday gift. To which I said, fine, I don't care if I get no Christmas gift the remainder of the decade. I have always just wanted a little hot box I could just go be quiet and sweat in outside.
And I assume this isn't perched up in the middle of your living room. It's like outside the Fitzy household, right? Correct?
It's exactly where I belong, in the backyard.
Oh, okay. Coincidence? I don't think so. But it is, the sauna is a fascinating thing. I mean, the fact that you wanted a sauna, the fact that you're saying that this is what I would actually have said, pinned you as a hyperbaric chamber guy. Say, hey, listen, if you do nothing else for me, honey, get me a hyperbaric chamber. But no, you are in the tradition of the Finnish people, and you
Correct.
Say if you do nothing else, give me a sauna. Congratulations, man. That's good.
So now my nickname, my broadcast handle, will be retired at season's end. I will no longer be Fitzy. I now prefer to be referred to as Schwitzy.
See, you couldn't do that if you changed your name to Murph. You couldn't do that.
No, zero chance. I mean, like, hyperbaric chamber, sure, those are great for recovery, and maybe back in the days of recovery pajamas, avocado everything, Tom Brady and the TB12 method, I would have said that, Bradfo. But now, given the noise that I'm surrounded by in my house, in my own aging head, on the back nine of my life, and on this radio station, a sensory deprivation chamber would have probably been a better gift, or an appropriate gift, shall we say.
Before we get to the leads, what everybody wants to know, and the Twitch stream is lighting up, as is the text line, 617-779-7937. Everyone needs to know the thing that I knew that when I was waking up this morning that I would be asking you. Mm-hmm. Naked or no in the sauna?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go hard or go home. Come on. I mean, not literally, but go hard or go home.
I understand that. I've never enjoyed the birthday suit experience. I always still like a towel. There's something gentlemanly about, you should always have a towel with you, Brett.
What are you, dress up Mr. Peanut as you go in the sauna? Like, what are we talking about?
It's very funny because I do have a cane, top hat, and monocle on the dispose, ready at a moment's notice.
But bizarrely while naked. All right, so Fitzy, I do want to get to leads. Let's get to leads, Jackson. Do we have...
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for...
All right, do I play out the banjo? I
mean, yeah, just for a minute, yep. Let it breathe for a second.
I mean, you are a great banjo player, Jackson. Excellent job on the banjo. All right, so it is the lead, because I think that what we're going to do, because we have Bill O'Brien coming up at 6:45, I will give my lead after Bill O'Brien, so I want Fitzy to take the center stage here. And Fitzy, my friend, what is your lead?
All right, Bradfo, this is a memo to Patriots Nation, but it is less in regard to the state of play of Drake May, the coaching of Gerard Mayo, or how things are going at one formerly Tom Brady place. Pats fans, I hate to say it, but it is time to get uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. I think if you want to regain some of the comfort that comes with knowing that you rooted for, embraced, and loved every moment of the greatest run by a professional football team in NFL history, you will need to apply for your temporary membership in either the Bills Mafia or the Ravens flock, because the Chiefs kingdom is in all its glory once again. The playoffs officially will run through Arrowhead Stadium, and while everyone continues to hoot and holler that the Chiefs aren't even that good and how in the world has this team only lost one game, the fact remains they're 15-1. They won't even have to put forth much effort to make it 16-1 to complete one of the greatest regular seasons in NFL history. And right now, I don't know if there's anyone that's going to possibly beat this team whose best football may still lay ahead, Bradfo. And if Pats fans don't want to see them be the team that first wins three Super Bowls in a row in the modern or Super Bowl era and have four Super Bowls for Mahomes, putting him three overall behind Brady, two behind Brady in a Patriots uniform, they best get behind Josh Allen or now quarterback rushing champion Lamar Jackson to take the Chiefs down. Because, man, oh, man, the way that team dismantled the Steelers yesterday on Christmas Day with 3 days rest was mighty impressive.
Do you think the NFL world hates the Chiefs like they hated the Patriots?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's weird, right? I mean, and I guess a lot of it comes from the scandals. But even scandals aside, when the Patriots were rolling, you still had, I feel like you had that animosity toward the excellence of the Patriots. In other words, you had that one team that was always good, that was always better, and that's really what the Chiefs are. But the Chiefs are sort of like the vanilla version of that, aren't they?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of reasons. Number one, it comes from the likability of the Walrus, you know, Bundle Ruski on the sidelines over there. Andy Reid, he's the Bradfo of coaching. He's everyone's cool uncle. Everyone wants to hang with Andy Reid because he's such a nice guy, despite any of his previous failings, his familial transgressions or whatnot. Everybody likes Andy Reid. He's got a high degree of affability. Patrick Mahomes, you know, seems just like a totally approachable dude, you know, despite his voice and you know, his weird wife and his whack-ass brother. Everyone likes Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's got a dad bod, yet he's, like, kind of revolutionizing the quarterback position. And Travis Kelce is Mr. Swift. So they have been, like, curated by the football world, the NFL, Bradfo, to have a much higher Q rating. Whereas Brady with Giselle was too beautiful, stratospheric celebrity. Belichick, you know, beyond reproach, arrogant, brilliant, defiant. Like, they represent two different poles of how dynasties will run in the NFL. And I posit that the Patriots gave better villain than any other team has probably since the 1970s during the days of, like, Jack Lambert and the Steel Curtain.
Do you think part of that, and we can't ignore the scandals, right? Because every 5 years...
Everybody loves a good gate.
But that's what I mean. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Is that the Chiefs, other than, as you said, I forget how you phrased it, but Andy Reid's familiar...
familial transgressions.
That's excellent. Put it on the t-shirts for the holiday season.
Yeah,
but it's one of these things where, other than that, you have Andy Reid coming out in the Santa Claus costume after the game. You have Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes dressed up as elves. This is how it's been. That is a microcosm of what that Chiefs, the image of that Chiefs excellence and run has been. There has been no gates. There's been nothing like that.
Nope.
And another thing that I come away from the Chiefs watching them yesterday, and I do want to get to watching them yesterday on how you had to watch them yesterday, code Netflix. But I come away with the big losers are Eric Bieniemy. Right, correct?
Yep.
I mean, he just got canned from UCLA, right? I think he did.
Or it was one of those, like, they released a statement. It was, as Mr. Kraft put it, an elegant parting of the ways.
But everybody was, this is the reason. This is the reason. He is making Mahomes. He is making this offense go. And as he has found out, no, 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 no. And the Chiefs have evolved into this. And this is my second part. Bad for the NFL, bad for fans. And the reason is because we never like to see the favorites win so much. And we don't like to see the favorites win like this. The Chiefs have become, they've become the team where you're, oh, yeah, it was really interesting how disciplined they were. It was really interesting how they converted on third down. It was really interesting how they executed this or that or this. Like, that dynamic, and yeah, Patrick Mahomes is really good. But that dynamic has taken over why the Chiefs are so good, and that's not good either, Fitzy.
No, and the annoying part of it is, Bradfo, is now outside of there's like a dearth of like celebrity marquee talent on the offense beyond Mahomes and Kelce, and that's what they need. That is their dynamic duo. But they're getting this done now with like Pacheco coming off IR after the leg, the reconstituted Kareem Hunt, old man DeAndre Hopkins. Everybody on this team, there's no star power. And that's the thing. This is why this particular iteration of the Chiefs, the 2024 Chiefs, reminds me in a lot of ways of the 2004 Patriots, because they're getting it done with clutch playmaking and defense. And like their defense yesterday, they're without Chris Jones. They're inarguably their best defender and a top 10 NFL defensive player, whether you call it secondaries, defensive lines or whatnot. And they absolutely locked down and opportunistically crushed the Steelers. The Steelers, by the way, are in a tailspin. And here we go is more like there they go, because Danger Russ and the Steelers have peaked. But the Chiefs dominated that game, Brett. It wasn't even a game.
No, it wasn't even a game. And I do want to get to the dynamic. Did they even show Taylor Swift once?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
It was really more of a Beyonce day on Netflix.
Put it on the bumper stickers. So listen, I do want to get into the Netflix stuff, which will morph into my leads. But first, we have to do some business. We have to talk to Bill O'Brien, which I always enjoy this interview they have with him. Obviously, the head coach of the Boston College football team. They're going to the Pinstripe Bowl Saturday at noon at Yankee Stadium. So there's a lot to talk to Bill about, and we appreciate him coming on again. Jelani Tavai is at 7:15. I'll have my lead at the top of the hour. But good lead, and we'll talk more about the Chiefs. And that, I do find it fascinating if you want to juxtapose that against what the Patriots went through. And will the Chiefs ever suffer through what the Patriots are doing absolutely right now, which is not, I don't know if you know this, not good. Not good, Fitz.
Not great.
Speaking of paying the bills, the lead is brought to you by Subaru. Find your Subaru at SubaruOfNewEngland.com.
Well, that's why you're paid the big bucks.
Yeah, you know.
Lamar.
And on my lead, it's very, very quick.
Oh.
It ties in with the banjo song I played.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you to my cousin Bob. He got me a banjo for Christmas. It's the greatest gift
I've got. Did he really get you a banjo?
Yeah.
You played the banjo coming out.
It's a used one from a yard sale or something like that, but it's from like 1897 or 1888, and it's awesome, and I'm going to learn to play the banjo. It's going to be great.
Wow.
So thank you, cousin Bob.
Cousin Bob's Banjos, visit them now.
Yes.
Give them a follow on the socials at Cousin Bob's Banjos. I deem that maybe for the next hour, all banjo-based rejoins.
Oh, yes.
Okay. We have a special one for Bill O'Brien, but after that, yes.
Okay.
All right.
And can you reenact the scene from Deliverance?
Thank you.
All right. We got Bill O'Brien coming up. Be back right after this. All right. If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien is brought to you by our Timeout Market, showcasing the best of Boston under one roof. I'm Rob Bradford along with Fitzy, and we do have Bill O'Brien, coach of the Boston College Eagles. We are so pumped and jacked for this game on Saturday. I love it. I love the fact that we are playing meaningful football in Boston on the collegiate level, Bill. Thank you for that, and thank you for all that you do, and thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Oh, Merry Christmas, guys. Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us. We're excited. We're very excited. We've been here for a couple of days in New York City. We're in Times Square, and it's been good. It's been a really good couple of days so far.
All right, I'm going to get right to it because we were talking about this before earlier. Like, you were a local kid. You grew up, but you went to school at the Hamilton Wenham of Danvers, St. John's Prep. Of course, I went to Hamilton Wenham. But we are almost of the exact same age, so I think you feel my pain when it comes to the Yankeedom, the fandom of the Yankeedom. I don't know if you ran home for 1978 playoff game when we were 8 years old or anything like this, but what was your view of the I mean, you're playing at Yankee Stadium. You're playing at Yankee, and when I'm 8 year old Robbie Bradford, Bill, I'm like, if you say you have to play at Yankee Stadium, I'm like, no, I hate them so much, I will refuse to play at Yankee Stadium. What was your view of the Yankees then?
Well, just to go back a little bit, not to be long-winded here, but we got let out of school. I was yeah, I was probably in 1978. I think I was 9 years old in the third grade. We got let out of school early for the Bucky Dent game. So that tells you how deep seated it is for me. You're right. You know, the other night we had a welcome reception at Yankee Stadium, and I had never been to Yankee Stadium. Didn't really think I would ever go to Yankee Stadium, and there I am, standing with my wife Colleen and my son Michael in the middle of Yankee Stadium, and there's no bigger Red Sox fans than those two. So, you know, it's cool, though. It's a great experience for our team to be able to play this game. The field looks awesome. The Yankees have done an unbelievable job with this bowl game. Mark Holtzman runs the bowl, and he's done an incredible job. Everything, You know, there's so many activities for our guys. You know, we focus on practice when it's practice, but the Yankees have done a great job of this game.
Well, and before you go, Fitzy, in case people don't know, you're playing Nebraska. We're going to get to them in a second. A fascinating team. I mean, they're a 500 team, but they keep losing to like top 20 teams by a touchdown or less. And you do know what you get if you do win this game, the Pinstripe Bowl, right? Correct? You do know what you get, the name of the trophy?
The Bad Boy Mowers Trophy?
The
you mean?
George M. Steinbrenner Trophy. So, so listen, it's two different things. It's football and baseball. It's okay. We're morphing loves. So as you said, little 9-year-old Billy O'Brien said, if you had said, I'm going to be presented with the George Steinbrenner Trophy, you'd probably say no yet, but now you'll say, absolutely, give it to me every day, right?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, we'll take the Mr. Steinbrenner Trophy. Yep. We'll display it proudly for football. You know what I mean? But no, it is a great opportunity. Nebraska's a good football team, like you said. They've lost a lot of close games. They have a really good young quarterback who I think is, you know, an excellent player. So you know, look, it's for Boston College, for us right now in our first year, to have, you know, the opportunity to go against a Big Ten team, you know, legendary program like Nebraska. I think it's pretty cool. So our guys are fired up, and it'll be a good game.
Yeah, it's the Bad Boy Mowers Bowl again, like you mentioned, Coach. And it's too bad that you guys all don't get gifted riding mowers at the end of the game so you could mow Go Sox into the outfield and make the Yankees have to live with that for the season.
There's a big Bad Boys mower in the lobby of this hotel. It's actually pretty funny.
Well, thank God the mower doesn't get dropped into a life size toaster, and you don't have to eat the mascot at the end of the game like in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. They'll do anything for a little promotion these days, Coach. It's a different day. But I wanted to ask you, as your first season as Boston College head coach draws to a close, you know, wild last year for you going from OC of the Pats, the temporary Ohio State work, and then obviously now back here at BC, to be the head coach of a team in your region where you're from, where you're so proud to be from, what is it that makes you proudest of what BC has accomplished in the first year during your coaching tenure?
You know, we got hired in February, and so I would say that's kind of late relative mm-hmm. to college football coaching hiring. You know, you just saw, you know, Coach Belichick just got hired, what, a month ago or a couple weeks ago. So we didn't get hired till February. And so I think what I always say is I give a lot of credit to these players. You know, these players, they bought right in. They understood, you know, it was a different way of doing things, and they just wanted to soak it in and learn it. And I give a credit to especially the seniors. You know, a couple of these guys played for three head coaches and played for Coach Adazio, Coach Halfley, and myself. So, but they bought in, and they knew it was going to be a different way. And I give them credit. We're not a perfect team, obviously, but we're a team that's a tough team and has gotten better, you know, over the course of the year. And I think that's a testament to the players.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this, because you know, one of the things I want to talk to as a show as this day is going on. We watch the games on Netflix and sort of the evolution of everything. And we can't be old men yelling at clouds and say, hey, this is how it's supposed to be. For you going back to college football, what is the thing that maybe you didn't anticipate that things are evolving toward? And I know it's forget about the money stuff, but in terms of the actual executing college football games, what is the thing that have evolved over the last year for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is, there are a lot of similarities to pro football. You know, obviously the money is a part of it. You know, the name, image, and likeness, you know, that's a part of what we do. The portal is a part of it. I equate that totally to free agency in the NFL. That's where I think a lot of things have evolved for me, is you have to do a good job throughout the year of just keeping track, basically with your staff, your recruiting staff, on film of how guys are doing around the country, so that when the portal opens up and a guy enters his name into the portal, you're ready. Because if you're not ready, then it's going to take too long to evaluate that guy and all those different things. So I think, to me, that's where it's evolved the most. The money part of it, you know, I'll just be honest with you, for us at Boston College, you know, we have money, but it's not the be all and the end all. You know, we have so much more to offer at BC. You know, we've got an incredible education in the best city in the world. And so, you know, we have a lot more to offer than just NIL. But the portal is definitely something that's definitely evolved, in my opinion, over the year.
Coach, I'm sure you've had a chance to watch some of the college football playoffs thus far. Obviously, there's a lot of bowl games. They all mean something to the specific programs, the coaches, the players. And then, of course, there are the 12 teams now down to 8 in the college football playoff, looking for college football's ultimate prize. What do you think of the way the playoffs have broken down thus far? The first four games, obviously, kind of non-competitive. A lot of the bowl games have actually been more entertaining to date. And do you think this format will last?
No, I think they'll change it. But I don't think we can just sit there and just complain about it. I think it has to be seeded a little bit differently. You know, look, if you win 11 games, you know, you should definitely have a shot to be in the playoff. I mean, if you're playing in one of these top three conferences. And you know, I get a little frustrated with the whole, you know, ACC and all that. And I look, I'm not saying that the ACC did great in the playoff. I get it. But you know, Clemson did play a very good game, I thought. They didn't win, obviously, but it was a good football game. But you know, I look at the ACC, and, you know, we got great coaches in this league. We got great players. I think it has to do with seeding, to be honest with you. You know, when you look at a team like Penn State, Penn State's a great football team. They're 11-1. You know, look, the way that it was seeded, they opened up with SMU, and now they go to Boise State. Maybe it should be reseeded after the first round. I have to look at it a little bit, you know, to study it a little bit longer. But I don't. I think that CFP committee has a tough job. You know, you have to look at the teams. You know, some people are saying, well, you know, this team was 9-3 and they should get in. Well, you know, some of those losses that those 9-3 teams had were terrible. So, like, I coached in all three conferences. I've coached in the Big Ten, the SEC, and the ACC. So I realize what type of teams playing in all those leagues. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think it has to do with seeding, and I think they'll try to do a better job next year.
Well, you're talking about conferences and you're talking about teams, and we mentioned real quickly the Nebraska team. It really is amazing, this Nebraska team you go up against. It's such a unique crew. And not only is it a unique crew because you have a coach who is as much like yourself, has NFL roots and Matt Rhule, but you have these games where they've played, and anybody who wants to go, you can just take a look at their schedule and knowing how formidable they can be. I mean, they beat Colorado 28-10, but then you talk about top 20 teams that they lost to, lost by to Illinois by 7. You lost to Ohio State by 4. Let's see. I mean, USC, obviously a strong team. You only lost to them by 8. You only lost to Iowa by 3. You go down the list, and it's pretty incredible. And as you said, they have a very good quarterback. They have a coach who's proven himself on different levels. This is a really, really intriguing challenge for you guys, huh?
No question. No, you just laid it out. I mean, this is I think, like, at the end of the day, that's why it's a great opportunity for Boston College, right? You know, we get to get in this game. We feel like we're a program on the rise. We feel like we're a program that's getting better. And what better way to test yourself against, you know, a Big Ten team that's been in a lot of tight ball games that could easily have 9 wins? And so, you know, I have a lot of respect for Coach Rhule. We saw him the other night. It was great to catch up. You know, he went to Penn State, so I've known him for a long time. Done a great job with that program. And they've, like you said, you laid it out, they've lost some tight ball games. But, you know, our guys have brought a lot of energy to practice. You know, I really like where our team's at. We've got to play disciplined football. That's when we've won this year. We've been able to take care of the ball, take the ball away. We haven't committed stupid penalties. We've been able to, you know, play disciplined football. So I think that's really what it's got to come down to. We got to be able to run the football. That's what we do this year. We run the football. We got to be able to stop the run. You know, Rayola is a really good quarterback, but if they line up and they just start pounding us, you know, it's going to be a long day. So it's a great opportunity for us, and our guys are very excited for it.
Coach, I feel like, Bill, you got a really prime opportunity, obviously, with Boston College back in a bowl game, playing it in a high-profile location as far as New England Boston fans are concerned in Yankee Stadium. And also Saturday, though, there's another daunting task for you because you've basically got 1 hour to make sure that everybody gets their eyes on BC and keeps their eyes on BC, because the Patriots, of all teams, had to get flexed into the 1 o'clock Saturday window as they take on the Chargers and Coach Harbaugh. So what did you think when you saw that? Were you like, son of a blank, could they have put the Pats on any other time except against BC, for God's sakes?
yesterday, and somebody said, you know, the Pats play, you know, an hour into our game on Saturday. So, no, you know, look, you can't – you just try to control what you can control, you know. You can't control the schedule. I'm sure there'll be people flicking back and forth. There's, you know, easy ways to watch both games, right? Get a couple TVs going, that type of thing. So, it's just the way it is. When the NFL flexes, that's what they do. That's their prerogative.
Well, Bradford, it should be a nice occasion to have multi-view, BC and the Pats on at the
I'm
same time.
I'm watching Boston,
right?
Are you kidding me? Let's go. But speaking of controlling what you can control, last thing, Bill, is that when we came out of the gate a day after Christmas, the logical things you were going to talk about is tattoos. I am of almost the exact same age as you. And last, a week and a half ago, I flew out to Los Angeles and got my first tattoo saying baseball isn't boring because, you know, anything for the brand. It led us to this conversation about does Bill O'Brien have any tattoos? And if you don't, would you ever get one?
I do not have a tattoo. And I would tell you, if I did get a tattoo now, at this stage of my life, I'd have a difficult time figuring out what that would be. You know, I'll tell you this, though. My wife got me the most unbelievable Christmas present. You guys will love this. The other day at Christmas, we celebrated Christmas a little bit early. She got me a Larry Bird signed basketball.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Sweet spot. Nice job.
Yeah. Yeah, and my son got a signed Randy Moss helmet, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great.
Relative to tattoos, probably not a tattoo guy, but just the memorabilia is awesome.
Well,
a Larry Bird basketball. Did it come with a case of Miller Lights and an invite to a fist fight?
So good. And I was going to say that, you know, if you won, you could say, if we're going to win this game, that I'm going to get a tattoo of George Steinbrenner. But that almost would be like a if you lost the game sort of thing. So,
no.
Maybe like a Louis Tion tattoo or something. I love see you getting released home from school that day. That scratches right where I itch, because I remember that day like it was. This was the budding of my fandom when it came to sports. So thank you for that, for Bill. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was a half day. I'll never forget it. I'm 55 years old, and it's ingrained in my memory. It was a half day because, remember, that was an afternoon game.
Yep.
Keith Jackson did the game, right, on ABC. And I remember Yaz popping out to Nettles to end the game. I mean, that was a brutal day in Boston.
Well, this is your time to get payback for all the people in Boston on Yankee Stadium Field. So I appreciate you, Bill. We appreciate what you've done for this season. It's made things really, really interesting. And I hope you have a great holiday and a safe trip back.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
And have a great new year. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Bill. That was fun. Bradford, did I ever tell you? You know what? Actually, let me tease it across, because I know we're, quote, up against it, and we're into the 7 o'clock hour now, but, God, I could talk to Billy O'Brien all day.
Right?
I have a very similar Red Sox pain school dismissal story. I don't know if I've ever shared it with you.
Oh, no. I want to hear it. I mean, because again, thank you, Wikipedia, I know that I'm almost the exact same age as Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that game, And I know that we're talking about old men yelling at clouds with too bad. If you're talking about, there's moments in everybody's existence, Fitzy, mm-hmm. where you remember this is the launching pad for my sports fandom. Or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it was a little bit before, but this was the defining moment. And for me, what Bill O'Brien said, that was for me. That was it. That day in October in 1978, and I look forward to hearing what yours is as well. And I think Jackson's was when he got the paranoid tattoo on his arm. Yes, that was a launching pad for a lot of things. All right, 617-779-7937. Jelani Tavai will be with us at 7:15. This is The Greg Hill Show.